And with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and I'm going to hand it off to Allie.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Joanne. And good afternoon to everybody out there, and I appreciate having you guys on the phone conference. And I want to welcome you to another one of the Member Solutions conference calls. Just recently, you might have received a package in the mail, including the last two email sets that Melody and myself sent out. And I personally think it's amazing that Member Solutions is going out of their way to continually take that your training and your business knowledge and the systems in your schools to levels far beyond what's expected. And as one of their lead consultants and also a consultant in the industry, but one of two that work with Member Solutions, I'm honored, always honored to be working with the clients and the members of Member Solutions, APS and PPS. I also wanted to take this time to remind everybody that you guys could easily set up one-on-one conference calls, and that's either with Melody Schumann or myself. And I believe you could do that just through calling up the offices, the 800 number, speaking to Joanne or any of the other people. And we have a calendar of events throughout the month, Melody and I, where you could just put yourself on a time schedule that's available, that's convenient for you, and you could do a 20-minute no-holds-barred session, you know, with us on anything that you'd like. The questions are designed to, it's designed to ask any questions on any topic that you may want to discuss. It could be on staffing. It could be on enrollment, anything that you could think of. We're there for you. And I want to stress to you that you should take advantage of this opportunity because back in the day when I started off, if this was available to me, boy, I would have saved myself such aggravation, so much lost money, lost employees, lost students, and it would have really benefited my school. I think I'd probably be in a different spot than I am in right now. So take advantage of that, and if you have any questions later on, we could go over things on open forum. And I'm going to be asking the questions if anyone has questions on the topics that I have. So without further ado, I'm going to dive right into our topic of the day, and you might have received the email. It's called Spring Cleaning. But as you can imagine, you know, for us, especially here in the eastern part where we're in Long Island, New York, or any of the colder areas, it's a welcome relief that the spring's around the corner. And to those of you that experience beautiful weather all year long, you could probably see that you kind of don't move from cycle to cycle. And you might want to break away from the monotony by adding new things into your school. So no matter whether it's weather conditions or attitude within your school, I think it's very motivational for everyone to have these new things come in, and that's where the analogy of spring cleaning comes in. And I'd like to say, spring cleaning is usually connected with cleaning, actually, but really what I mean is, you know, a million other things, and I'm going to go over those. But, of course, you want to do spring cleaning just in the spring. So we want to talk about spring cleaning as if it were a metaphor for energy in your school, excitement, synergy, and, of course, you know, making sure the school looks the way it should. So now I want to go over 8 topics that I have that I've written in a form of 8 tips for the spring, or it actually says 8 tips to make this the best spring ever. And I'll go over each individual section, and then at each section I'll ask questions, if anyone has questions, and we'll go over them. And in the very end, I'll have an open forum for 15 minutes of questions or, you know, 10 minutes, whatever we have left. So let me jump into number one. Number one I wrote down is taking an inventory of all your school equipment. Now, this includes all your house gear, including hand mitts, kick pads, wave masters, the Bob kick pad, and his son Billy, I think they call him. He freaks me out, so I don't have him in my school. And I want you to look objectively at all your gear within your school. And then what I want you to do is evaluate it. And if it looks used or the kick pad or the hand mitt is a little worn and it presents any danger because of less padding and or a rip or if it just looks terrible, I recommend to all of you guys just to get rid of it. And I know you might say, yeah, that's easier said than done, but here's just a quick idea. If you can, you should do a sale in your school. Take all your stuff yearly, once a year in the spring or in the end of winter, and look at all your kick pads, your wave masters, your hand mitts, and put them up for sale and sell them to your clients for, 75% off. Then take that money back, and you and I both know, or all of us know, the wholesale versus retail is so much less. You could probably get enough money to buy all new equipment. I wholeheartedly recommend also get equipment that has your logos on it. Make sure that you have a hand mitt that says the name of your school with your logo, a kick pad that has the hand, the name of your school and your logo. And if you don't know of a supplier that does that, you could call at Touches End, that's my store, and we can either refer you to somebody or get the stuff for you. But my recommendation is to take all the ugly, unsightly, used and abused stuff and sell it off at a fraction of the price. this works in twofold because, you know, the stuff's dirty, it's smelly, and it really brings down the look of your school. But also at the same time, you'll give the parents the impression that you're always constantly upgrading and updating everything in your school. And it works twofold because you get new gear, and then the parents see you upgrading it, and they also get something at a real discount, increasing the chances that they may be practicing with their kids at home and, you know, possibly creating a more of a home-based practice environment so that they, you know, there's more retention in your school. So if you, I've never ever had a sale where I had one item left after I sold. I always sell my kick pads, I sell my hand mitts, I sell my Wave Masters. I lay them out in my lobby or my store and I put a price on it and they're gone within like a week. So make sure you have other stuff to replace it before you sell it. And that's just my number one tip right now for spring cleaning is to take care of that and get rid of all your stuff. Have Joanne unmute everybody. Do we have any questions on that particular item before I move on?
I had one question.
Sure.
Exactly that. In the beginning of the conference, you said something about you sent out packets to people.
Or
this email.
When on the sale thing? On the sale item?
I don't know exactly.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, APS and Member Solutions, I believe, sent out, Joanne, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a package sent out to all the clients that had a breakdown on the last two segments or forms that Melody and I have been working on.
We actually send that out to people who don't previously receive them by email because that goes out to people who we don't have current email addresses with or we have bad email addresses.
So I'm okay on that.
Okay, so no, it's nothing new, but it really is the emails that you've been getting, but that went out to everybody. I thought it was great having a hard copy because it actually encouraged me to read Melody's thing in a little bit more detail, and I picked up things that I didn't on the email because I was just scanning it.
Well, just so you know and everyone on the call knows, if you do receive the emails and, one, you haven't had a chance to read through them, you want to do a little bit more detailed reading, you want to highlight parts of it, or you just didn't get that particular email, you can feel free at any time to go into the APS or PTS website and download all of those in their full original format.
Great. Okay. Any other questions on the first item?
My question is, when you said about putting your logo on things, you guys find it hard to get companies to do that.
Well, I could pretty much do that for anybody. So I have a store called The Touches Zen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested, just check out the website at touchesen.com. Email me, and we could take care of it for you.
And then the other question is, what benefit is to put your logo on your equipment in the studio?
Well, branding is the benefit. You know, what we try to do is build this kind of persona that you are the most highly professional organization of your type in your school. And how do we get that? And, you know, it's by a number of different things. The first, and it's a great question because, you know, what does a little logo on a kick pad mean? But, you know, when people walk into your school, you want to create not just an environment but a culture that people are in. You know, so, you know, people are proud to wear your shirt and people are proud to be a part. And the way we do that is by co-branding on so many different things, whether it be book bags, pencils, pens, pads, notebooks. You know, that I could go over a multitude of different things, but anything that you have should have your logo on it. And then, you know, your logo represents your school. So when people, you know, the pads are piled up in the corner neatly, you know, they have your logo all over it. It presents them as a much more professional environment. It's like Gold's Gym. You walk into Gold's Gym, everything has their logo on it. They have Gold's Gym t-shirts, Gold's Gym jackets. People love to buy that stuff. And not only could you sell it, but at the same time, it just creates that synergy and that culture within your school.
Okay.
Sound good? Any other questions, or I'll move on. Okay. Let's mute everybody again, Joanne, or we'll go right on to number two. My number two thing that I talk about is I want everyone to take a hard look and enlist the help of their students and parents, preferably the moms in your school, and ask them to honestly tell you what they think about what's going on in your school and what should stay and what should go. Now, what I mean about that is I would ask them about the decorating advice in the school, the color schemes, to see what they believe to be safety hazards, things that may be dangerous. Because before I became a parent, I didn't really realize how to think as a parent. I mean, in theory and concept, as a martial artist teaching children, I kind of knew the philosophy of how a parent may think. But then when I got a daughter and she became my life, I realized slowly, you know, what things were at eye level, what things were as she grew that were dangerous to her, the things that she may get cut on, fall on, trip on. the rips in carpets, you know, bad equipment, chips in walls, nails coming out, all these little things. And I notice them at an entirely different level. So I recommend for everyone to hire, not hire, but ask, you know, and give out a pad to some parents that you trust or even parents that you might think will be brutally honest, and even the students, and ask their opinion on what they think about the school colors, what they think about the color of the carpet, what they think about the smell of the school, how if they think that the bathrooms are maintained and clean, if they believe that the windows are up, you know, kept up, and, you know, because in one of my schools we have these very, very old windows, and a few of our three-year-olds think they're kind of scary. They're metal, they're kind of dirty looking. There's nothing that we could do unless we change them, and we plan to upgrade them, but they're a major cost for us, so we've been putting it off. But there are some kids here that are get a little scared by the way the windows look a little eerie there, you know, metal bar kind of looks with the old panes. So, you know, these things are things that we need to look at. And the parents are going to tell you things that you might get annoyed at in the beginning, or you might think is ridiculous, but it's totally relevant to the appearance of your operation and the feelings that, you know, people have. From an objective point of view, people may see things behind the scenes or interpret things as being differently behind the scenes just based on the look. And I just want to quickly give you guys an example. I have a student who's a young 16-year-old kid, good-looking kid, athlete, and so on. And he came to me one day, and, you know, he's kind of dressed like all young teenagers dress. And, you know, I had said to him, you know, basically I asked him a question. I said, you know, who do you represent in our school? His hair was kind of messy standing up, and he looked at me and thought a second, and then he said, I represent the dojo, or the school. And then I said to him, I know that this is an answer that you believe to be the right answer, but you represent yourself first. And you only have one chance to make a first impression. And that's why when people walk through our doors, if our mats are sloppy and if there's a smell when they walk through, or if the pads are piled ugly in the corner, or if you have too much clutter, or your desk is filled with, you know, a old sandwich wrapper, or if there's garbage overflowing in your lobby out of your garbage pail, these are all things that the first-time client will see. And like I said, you only have one time to make a, you know, first impression. And I recommend for you guys to ask your clients, to ask questions, to see what they think. And trust me, ask and ye shall receive, because once you ask these questions, you'll open up a can of worms. But don't be afraid of hearing that. You know, don't be afraid of getting the answers that might, you know, be something that you might not want to hear, because the truth is you got to be constantly in search of the truth. And that's going to help you grow as a professional operation. So any questions on that? Anybody out there has a question on that?
Everyone's unmuted, so ask away.
None at all. Okay. Okay, great. No problem at all. I have plenty of material, so I'll just move forward. So that was pretty self-explanatory. Now, the next thing, my number three on spring cleaning is actual cleaning. I think that we should organize a cleaning day with all of our students. This could be done with little kids. It could be done with teenagers. It could be a free day where you buy some pizza. Everyone comes in and you guys clean from top to bottom. I mean, every single thing that you could think of. Because remember, the school represents you. And like I said, I've done interviews with people in our school, and I found out with women, you know, bringing in their children or women training, that the smell of a martial arts school, just the very smell of sweat or like a mildewy carpet or whatever, turns people off and they won't sign up. Now, if you notice that Gold's Gym or any of the other gymnasiums, the professional centers like Jack O'Lane, they have huge cleaning crews that come in every single night to disinfect and clean. Never is there a dirty bathroom. To me, that's my pet peeve. If I walk into a school that I'm consulting, I walk straight for the bathroom. I see what it looks like. I personally know that I'm going to be spending time while I'm going to have my five-year-old daughter in that school, that school better be spotless. And, you know, I think that, again, you know, what I talked about recently with my student, you know, his impression, it's not the impression that, you know, he gives of our school, but all of our staff members should be in clean geese. They shouldn't be in old, ratty old geese. They should be dressed nice, look nice with nice haircuts. I mean, all of this is real, real important, because your first impression is your only impression. I mean, people could get past it if they're strong enough, but honestly, trust me, what people see is what they believe that they get. And just recently, I had Melly Schumann up at my school to teach a seminar. She was just unbelievable. And I was kind of embarrassed, because I have my headquarters school, which I have 450 students at. I have a huge flat roof on my building, and the roof, we've been having roof struggles where it's been leaking. And I was embarrassed. You know, I warned her before she even came in. I said, you know what? The school's a mess because the roof's been leaking. We have buckets collecting water. The carpet's a little stained. We're waiting to get the roof fixed. We've had somebody up there 4 times, and the roof hasn't been repaired as of yet, so we haven't installed our new carpet. I was, to be honest with you, I was embarrassed, and my first impression for her probably wasn't that good, and she's a consultant in the industry. So I really stress to you guys that you guys should take a look at your school with an objective point of view. Walk into that school. If you see people and parents leaving their shoes all over, if you see kids laying on the floor, or if you see clutter, and you should definitely look at, you know, eliminating clutter in your office, in your school. Eliminate sloppiness of how things are organized. Think about this. All department stores, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on decorating and visually merchandising their schools. So if they're doing that, they know what's going on, and they know that they have to visually merchandise their school in such a way that it's appealing to the client. And this is so, so very important. So you should really check into that and look at it and ask an objective point of view. And I personally, if it's an all-martial arts school with all-male staff, get some women involved, because we tend to look at things differently as guys than women would, and they're much smarter than we are when it comes to decorating and organization and cleanliness and clutter and so on. So that's my number three topic. Any questions on that? And feel free to ask a question that may have been sparked off of this topic. Hmm. Anybody out there?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I think we don't have any questions, because I think you're pretty much comprehensive on anything that we could ask.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks very much. I'd like to continue on then. I mean, we'll go on and we'll have an open forum question as well. So I'll keep moving on, because we're doing pretty well on time. So my fourth topic is organizing for the spring some sort of school show. I personally believe it could be a spring fling, it could be a parent show, it could be a grand reopening, it could be anything that you want to do that's going to create some sort of buzz on your school. Think of it as a takeoff on the dance recital mentality, where every single year students train all year long, and then at the end in dance they do a big recital. And schools, dance schools, make a fortune off of this. Yet, as martial artists, we haven't tapped into this venue yet. My friend used to own 5 dance studios, and he'd make $150,000 to $200,000 in a week's time by selling dance recital tickets and outfits and so on. But anyway, I'm not looking at this as a moneymaker. I really think it would give parents a better perspective on what you're doing in your school, as well as promoting your school. You could also use this as an opportunity for press releases to go out, highlighting your school and what your specialties are. It's also a great thing for free to give to the parents, so that they feel that they're getting something back. I also recommend to you guys that you could do specialty seminars in your school throughout the day. For instance, on child's age-specific classes, or a awareness seminar, or a parenting seminar on how to drill and coach, or even little mini classes on just to get a snapshot of what your kids, the students, and the adults are going through in your school. So this parent show, I used to do them. I haven't done them the past year that they've gone on, but this coming year we're going to do a few of them. And it always creates a large amount of synergy and excitement in the school, as well as getting everyone to see what we're doing. So let me ask if anyone has any questions on that.
I have a question.
Sure.
What are the costs associated with doing a parent show like that?
Well, what do you mean as far as how, what cost, like maybe?
What do you charge? Do you charge something? Like, is it an income generator, or is it just a...
Well, I mean, you could do it as both ways. I would recommend that you would do it for free. You know, if you want to try to pick up some costs, you might want to charge a dollar or two just to bring in some money, like if you had to rent any chairs or advertising costs. But I think that would be an out-of-pocket expense that would benefit the school owner, and it would be, you know, marked down as advertisement and, you know, marketing costs.
Okay.
But the whole goal is to build that synergy within the school. And Phil, you kind of did this. Philip, who's asking the question, is actually one of my guys who runs our school. And we had organized a huge Christmas party that we do, and we had it at a catering hall. But you also did a separate individual Christmas party just for your students at your school.
Yes.
And you kind of had this little family synergy going on where they bought you a present. You had them bring in food. It was kind of like a little private party, and it really just builds that family environment and that synergy within your school that creates an environment where people feel like they're a part of it. But when you're doing a show, I would open it up to the public, get out there and hand out flyers, try to get free press from the local papers, maybe do a charity fundraiser. Whatever it is, it's going to create a great thing, a great power and strength to your school and marketing, free marketing and so on. Anybody else have a question on that?
Yeah, I had a couple of small questions.
Sure.
This is Jason Wagner.
Hi, Jason.
So I like the idea of the spring the show, like you said, doing the dance recital idea for us. But I'm just kind of trying to piece it together. Do you host it in your academy?
Well, I have to say, it all depends on the size of your school, but yeah. I normally hold it in my school, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter because even if you have a smaller school, you could still do it right in your school and do it at different times. So throughout the day, you might want to highlight your little 3 to 5-year-olds or 3-year-olds and then 4-year-olds at a different time. So people are coming in and out. And there would be a great time for the grandparents to come and see their young ones perform. And it's just a really, like I said, it's just one of those things that just gets people through the door. And you could even create it to be a buddy day as well. The kids could show, and then they could bring their friends, and then those friends could get to do a free class. And you could turn it into a really great sales program for motivating new students to join your school.
Okay, I really like that. That's what I was thinking. I wanted to do something. I like the idea. I want to do something to bring them into the academy because we are very particular about what you said about keeping it spotless and clean and stuff like that. Or that it's embarrassing with my competition. I wish everyone in town would walk into all the schools and just see, which ones are clean and things like that. But the problem is it's a 2,700 square foot building, which is plenty big enough for the 35-30 student class somewhere around there, but not for bringing in members and then free guests teach.
Right. Well, that's why I said you could do it at different times as well. And that would eliminate your any overcrowding. But I could tell you that depending on what your capacity is, I once had my and I don't say this with being proud of it, but I once had my 6,700 square foot facility with 2 rooms. I had 1,000 people at one time in that building. Would have been a major problem if the building went on fire. Thank God nothing happened. But we packed it to capacity. It was insane. Well, it was just unbelievable with people there and an energy. It was just great. So you could do it at different times, schedule 3 or 4 different times throughout the day and promote it as mini events, one for little children with having a specialty person come in and maybe a child psychologist or someone or yourself doing a seminar for children and parenting and then maybe do an afternoon one and so on. So you could set it up and really build something up within your community that, people are going to just flock to you because you're giving out stuff. Maybe do fingerprinting and ID cards for free, which we continually do at our schools, where parents could come in and just have their kid fingerprinted and have their photo taken on an ID card, and you just give it away as a service.
This is great. What all do you have? I know obviously if you're breaking all the secrets, you want to make sure that everybody, every kid is doing something. Is it just, some kids may break boards, some kids may do their forms, their kata's?
Well, you want to highlight each child at the best of their own ability. So, some kids that can break the boards, you have them do the board breaking demonstration. Other ones could just do a demonstration on punches and kicks on the pad. You could actually do it as if you were running a class. You could have an instructor out there and just run the class and have someone else tell the audience what's going on. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be a rehearsed show. It doesn't have to be something that you worked out for weeks and months. You just pretty much open up the doors, tell all the little kids to show up with their relatives and family on a specific time, and you run in class and you do some drills, highlight some kids, have everybody applaud, and it just work out great for you. It's a great energy in your school.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for that.
No problem. Any other questions on that? Okay, let's move on to number 5. Time flies because we're already a half an hour into this. Number 5, I recommend, and I've been recommending this, and I'm sure Melody has over the last, 8 months that I've been doing consulting, is for you guys to look over your stats and start making decisions on what direction you're going to go based on those results. Determine exactly how you'll advertise and set up things for the upcoming year based on your stats. With accurate stats, you can figure out a great deal about a person's school. For instance, I continually hear, even from the larger schools, that how they're really not keeping track of their stats. And to me, this is the lifeblood of the school. This is the core of how a school is run. Knowing your stats are the only way to keep a pulse on your school. Keeping everything in a database as well as watching it closely will give you an idea of what direction you're going, where you're lacking, And just with stats alone, I can tell whether a school is going up or down or going in and out of business or has some major problems or needs to do some major changes. And I find continually that this is an area that school owners and program managers lack. Like, I may ask a school, how many active students do you have? And they say, well, on the roster we have, 200. And there's always this little percentage of area where they're not sure. Well, I'm not sure if I have actually 200 students or do I have 140 active contracts. And then I'll ask, how many people are actively training within your school? And people don't really know. So for those of you that do, I applaud you. And if you don't, I'm not saying anything negative about you, but it's the perfect way to have a total, pure, clean, concise idea of what's going on within your organization. And now, for instance, if you're not keeping track of your stats, then this is a perfect time to start. But I want to stress to everybody that if you're not doing it, that this should be a top priority on your list of to-dos for the new year. I mean, we're in March already. Believe it or not, we're in our third month already into the new year. That means we only have a few months left before the year closes and we see the ball drop and we're on to saying, wow, I wish I would have did this and I wish I would have did that. And we really need to know. And your stats are very, very important because when you track those stats, they'll tell you how many new students you have, how many trial classes, how many people called up to inquire about your school, how many people have come in off of those inquiries, how many people have signed up off of the trial classes, how many students you have in white belt, yellow belt, green belt, whatever belt your ranking system is. And not only do you want to know what belts those people are in, but you want to know what age bracket is in what belt. For instance, your curriculum. You'll learn a lot about your curriculum based on your stats and your belt levels. Because if you have 100 green belts, let's say, but 80 of them are little ninjas, but the other 20 are teenagers, and all of your adults quit at green belt, this will give you an idea of what your curriculum is doing to your student base. And I think it's really, really important that us as owners start looking at every little thing, pick it apart step by step to see where we're at. So stats are the lifeblood of your school. And it's important. I know that Melody and I both have our clients from Schumann Concepts and takingittothenextlevel.com and Member Solutions. We offer different stat forms to our clients. I know Member Solutions has different forms that are available to you guys that you guys can track your stats, track your new enrollments, track your promotions, track your belt ranking, and see where you're at. Because honestly, you could be in business this month and out next month if you're not watching your stats closely. I hear people all the time say to me, well, I have great retention, I just don't get new students through the door. And then I'll constantly ask them, well, how many new students through the door do you get? And they say, well, maybe 3 to 5 I sign up. And I said, okay, well, that's 60 students a year. How many students did you have at the beginning of the year? How many students did you have at the end of the year? They say, well, I've been at the same amount of students this year. I haven't grown. So that's a good way of finding out the percentage of dropouts that you have, whether it be on new members or old members. You need to track and see what students are staying, how long they're staying, how many times are people quitting at the beginner level or the intermediate level or at the black belt level. Because if you find that out, you're able to readjust your curriculum based on your students. If you have people that go all the way to black belt, but then you find that the majority of your black belts quit, there's got to be a reason why they're quitting. Is it because they think they've achieved a goal and there's nothing left for them? Is it because the black belt curriculum is boring? Is it because they don't feel that there's anything more for them to learn? It's not beneficial to them and their mentality as a black belt? These are all the questions that you could ask yourself with stats, as well as finding out how your advertising dollars is working, how your marketing is doing, how your salespeople are doing, how everything is going on. So anyway, I recommend you guys check out my website, too, at takingittothenextlevel.com, just as it said, takingittothenextlevel.com. And there's so many different things on stat tracking on there as well. But let me open this up. That was that was another thing that we could talk about. So any questions on that?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Anyways, my question is that what I found is we use MarshallSoft, which is a pretty good program. I'm still having a hard time using the daily numbers, like the phone calls and who shows up and who doesn't.
Okay.
We put everybody in as a trial member.
Right.
We give everybody 2 weeks. And we do pretty good as far as that and conversion and what kind of whatnot.
Great.
But we have a lady that does all our phone stuff, but that computer mouse would be a rock to her because she don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
And she just won't be able to. She's got poor eyesight. She's older.
That's okay. Well, this is my suggestion.
So what I'm trying to do is figure out how she can realize who has come in, who hasn't come in, how we can track it on paper so that
okay.
another person
Well, that's exactly it. I have a suggestion for you. We use MarshallSoft as well. We're very excited to get the new U-Bill program that's coming out that they've been working on at Member Solutions. That's probably going to be just an unbelievable thing in the industry, probably the leading program for all of us in the martial art industry. But even with our computer systems, we have a hard copy card tracking system that we use. So we have an attendance card for every single student. And Melody in Schumann Concepts has an unbelievable attendance tracking system that she uses. So people might want to check into that. And I also have it available on my website. But I would suggest getting an attendance card and actually tracking it hard copy, hard style, because even if you have it in the computer, but you have it so that your student who's teaching the class or the instructor that's teaching the class pulls the cards right at a glance, right there in a snapshot, a two-minute snapshot, you'll know who's attending classes, who isn't, who's come to special events, who hasn't, who has lost their motivation just based on their attendance on the card. If you notice that February they've only done two classes and all of a sudden they show up, you may want to ask where they've been. Have they been sick? And if they are, write it down on the back of the card. If they haven't been, you want to find out why they haven't shown up. And if you notice by pulling your cards weekly, because you should be doing your 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls that I refer to everybody, you should be calling those people up and finding out where they are if they've missed a week. And the only way to really do that is to have a hard copy. I mean, you could print it out of MarshallSoft and that'll work for you, but at the same time, it's still a little bit difficult because you don't get the exact reading on every student and a pulse of what days they came and what days they haven't, and that's important. Because you might know that it snowed for the last 3 days in your area, so it's pretty clear, a clear-cut idea that's the reason why they didn't get there. Weather's been terrible. So
well,
you don't need to worry.
When I look at that, I mean, I track attendance, and we use the rosters that come out of APS.
Right.
And that works really good for us. And I can look at a glance, see who hasn't been here, who has been here. But what I talk about is, like, a brand-new student, you know, they called, and what happened? How do we track they called, okay?
Uh-huh.
How did it, when they... if they came in after they set an appointment and did they sign up. That's
well, let me ask you this. You have one school, right?
We have one and we started a second one.
Okay, so let's say you have two schools. So I would track them separately. Mm-hmm. But what I would do is it's as simple as putting a little database together or just putting it on a piece of paper, knowing that you should be tracking every single trial class call that comes in. Mm-hmm. The minute your phone rings, we have a pad by the phone. And as funny as it may sound, again, I don't mean to keep bringing up my website, but on my website we have this pad that you could actually download a hard copy of it on a PDF. And you basically, when a call comes in, you find out exactly what source of advertising they came from.
Yeah, we have a phone script for that. I'm just
okay.
trying to figure out how, like for instance, she'll ask me, well, did this person show up today? Did that person show up today?
Well,
or
you just need to track the information and at the end put it into a final database to find out today who came in for the week, how many people showed up, how many people didn't, and then find out why. And then you'll know at the end of the month that you had 30 calls, inquiry calls, but out of the 30, only 10 showed up. Out of the 10, only 5 signed up. Right then and there, you know you need to work on the trial class or you need to know about getting people in the door and find out why they're not showing up. So it's just a matter of keeping tick marks on a piece of paper and tracking your stats. I mean, there could always be this extravagant computer system, but it probably would work just as easily as for you as just keeping the numbers on a piece of paper.
Ali, I want to interject something here. Is that
sure.
It's funny because as you guys were talking about the hard copies of the daily attendance records, my husband, who does all of the teaching, is sitting here going through probably about 120 cards, marking
right.
who was in class last night. Say we have, as you said, we know not here. As far as tracking your appointments and your
calls,
I have a hard copy appointment book.
Yeah.
I sit here and I make the call them the night before to, you know, remind them of the appointment. They're
right.
not here within 10 minutes of their appointment. I'm on the phone calling them saying, you know, are you stuck in traffic, baby sick, what have you.
Right.
The opportunity to go ahead and reschedule, because once they don't show up and you don't call, you're never going to get them back.
Well, I wouldn't say never, but I would definitely say that I agree with you 100%, and follow up and follow through is the most important thing.
We do pretty good on that. I mean, that's not
okay.
a problem. It's just that, you know, what we're finding is that because she's not computer literate, she's asking me, this person show up, that person show up, and we're not writing the numbers down
okay.
into the computer. And
well,
that's
then that's
where
the
we're
thing.
Having. We got 150 students, and you know that may not be a lot for a lot of people out there, but it's starting to get to the point where we have a small staff, and we're trying to do so much, and it just seems like some of the stuff falls off the plate.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think that the answer to you is, and then I'm going to move on to my next topic, and then we'll work on any open forum questions, is the answer to you, you know it already. It's just tracking your attendance and tracking your and tracking the things that you need to know so you could have an answer. And then we could get that squared away. And once you know it, then you have a way to look back on it and see whether you're doing something wrong or right. And that's why I say stats are so important. You need to look at every single thing. If you had run an ad, you want to know that that ad cost you $300. You want to know how many people are coming in off of that ad.
Hey, the U-Bill program, is that going to be something that's going to be in MarshallSoft, or is that something?
It's actually going to be an online program, and maybe at the end I could have Joanne talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's something that's going to be one of the hottest things in the industry, and I'm building it up because it really is going to – I can't wait because it's going to help me.
The only thing I didn't like about the U-Bill is that the database is not on your computer. It's somewhere on the Internet.
Yeah, well, that to me is actually a positive rather than a negative, because you don't have to worry about it going down, and you could still always do backups on your computer without a doubt and have all your information. So you could download your information, I'm sure, onto a backup and have it, so just in case something did go happen. But I don't think it should be a problem. But anyway, let me mute everybody again, and we're going to go on to my seventh and my eighth thing, and then I'll open it up real quick, and I'm going to go through this quickly. I recommend continuously to upgrade and update the colors in your school, the way things look. Any kind of change is positive and gives the parents a sense that you're always updating and keeping your school on the cutting edge. Remember buying new pads, getting new stuff. But there are stores out there such as like Sears or Macy's or Bloomingdale's and all those people that they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars just to visually merchandise their stores. Yet, you know, we choose a color and we keep it as our color for eternity in our schools. A lot of people do. I'm not saying everyone does. And we maybe decorate our school when we first open, but we don't really change much. And then also when we merchandise our products, let's say that we have fighting gear or we have weapon bags or weapons, we put them on a shelf and then we don't move that around and change that around. So what happens is it becomes, after a few weeks, 1 or 2 weeks, it becomes a fixture rather than a product. And when we change colors in our schools, the designs in our schools, we change the architecture, we change the layout, we change the decoration, people tend to notice. And they say, wow, you're doing upgrades, you change things, I can't get used to this. But, you know, if we keep our fighting gear in the same corner, people see it when we first put it there, but after more than a week or two, it becomes a fixture. They just walk right past it. They don't even notice that we have it on sale. So what we need to do is continually change things. I would recommend every 2 weeks changing product, like fighting gear and weapons and whatever, moving that around and changing the display and adding new decorations for the season when it comes to Valentine's Day, adding hearts when it comes to, you know, summer, making it more summery looking, but keeping it fresh. That's visual merchandising is a $1 billion-a-year business, and we need to start becoming a little bit more savvy in that area, knowing that we can't just have product on the shelf the same every single day. We can't just have the same signs in the same place. We can't just have the same color of the same school every single year after year. We should bring that energy and that excitement into the school. And we want to do that in a way that's going to get people thinking, wow, Master So-and-so is always putting something new into the school. This is where our tuition dollars are being spent. This is why we're in the hottest school in the area. This is why I chose this school. This is why I stay here. Of course, we know it's all about curriculum and the instruction. But all of these things tie to the impression of what people think. So I'm going to ask a question on that. Any questions on that right there? Anybody real quickly?
Yeah, I have a question. I would say my question would be that wouldn't that get kind of expensive after a while?
Well, you got to ask yourself the question. The next question is, if it brings in new students and keeps the energy flowing, then there is no expense to it at all.
Okay.
It's part of your marketing and your advertising. For instance, I have a student in Costa Rica. He actually advertises now, but in the very beginning when I met him, he would print up flyers that cost a lot to print, and he wouldn't give them out to anybody because he was afraid he was going to waste them.
Right.
You know, everything we do because, hey, they cost $1 a piece or 80
right.
cents a piece. I don't want to leave them on the counter. Somebody might take one. And I said to him, well, isn't that the idea? He goes, yeah, but what if they don't want to do martial arts? I said, well, then you lost $1 there, but on everybody who signs up, you gained $1. The next thing also, too, that I continually recommend is that, you know, when you're changing the look of your school, what are you doing? You're presenting to them that they're, you know, if you spent $1,000 to decorate every spring, new ideas, new picture frames, new colors, new carpeting, that's going to tell your clients, wow, this guy is building a school. He's building an empire. He's growing the organization. One of my students just sent me an email that talked about two guys that were side by side digging a hole. And a third bystander came by and said, what are you guys doing? And one guy said, I'm working my butt off in this hot weather, and I'm just digging this hole. And he said to the other guy, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking this shovel by shovel, and I'm building an empire. So perspective is really everything. You know, so when your clients walk in and sit down on hard chairs, if you got them a cushion chair, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that won't say anything, but there are a lot of people that are going to be very happy. If they, you know, if they see the color change and it's more convenient and clean and nice smelling to them, the perspective is going to change. So that's real, real important. So I hope that answers your question. Any other people have a question on that? Okay, we're going to go into number 8, last and final one. And Joanne, by the way, you're doing a great job with muting and listening, so you're on top of things, so thank you. The last thing that I'm going to say, and then we're going to open it up real quickly, is I recommend for everybody right now to do a spring student-parent questionnaire. Now, this questionnaire could have any questions about anything that goes on in your school, and ask all the questions, all the right questions, and also ask all the wrong questions. Don't be afraid to open up a can of worms, which, by the way, is one of the articles that I wrote for APS and Member Solutions a few months back that's in our archives. And I want you guys to ask questions that you may be afraid to hear the answers to. Are they happy with the cleanliness of the facility? Are they happy with the curriculum? Is Johnny getting bored? Do they feel like a valued client? Do they feel that they get lost in the crowd? Do they feel like they're abused? Do they feel like they're using their equipment that you made them buy enough to get their money's worth? Do they feel like you're getting their money's worth in the curriculum that you sell? All these things are so, so important to the growth of your school, because if you are open-minded and you take everything that you get as a way to improve yourself, you're going to find a way to get benefits out of even the worst complaint. Like I always say, throw in a positive, you know, or every negative turn into a positive. So if a parent comes to you and says, you know, I don't feel like a valued client, well, what does that tell you? One, you could say, well, they're nuts and they don't have any idea. Or you could say, well, what are the reasons why you don't feel that way? And, you know, some of them may be, you know, ridiculous, and you can make that decision. But I would say that a majority of the time, if you look into it and you look at it as a professional business owner, you could find something about their comment that will change your school forever. You will find a way to tweak and turn and possibly, you know, alter your curriculum or maybe the way of doing business or the way you talk to people slightly that will make your school be that one step better to being a, you know, more professional organization. We have a saying in our school about all of our students, and the saying is that every student is either one step closer to their black belt or one step closer to quitting. And we also have a saying that says behind every demotivated child or student, there's a demotivated spouse or parent. So especially in the parent-student relationship, if a kid wants to quit and the parents don't feel that they're getting their money's worth, you know they're going to say, okay, Johnny, you could quit. But if they see the benefits and they see everything that you do and they feel that the organization is giving back to their family, they're going to be on your side and they're going to work with you either behind closed doors or in front of their child and not let them quit the school. So this increases retention, and the student questionnaire is a real, real good way to get a pulse on what people think. And I would recommend to also do it in a way that they could do it anonymously, because if they do it anonymously, they'll tell you their true feelings. If they have to put their name on the bottom, and even if they have to feel that they see you, them putting, if you could see them putting it into the ballot box or into the envelope, they're not going to be as honest as they would be as if they could do it anonymously. Send it to you in the mail or slip it into a box where no one will see it. The staff won't know who put it in there. They're going to tell you in their honest opinion. Sometimes that opinion is so valuable, we don't want to pass that up. Okay, let's open up the floor for either questions on this last thing or any open forum questions on anything. And don't feel funny. I mean, personal questions are okay about the growth of my school and how I got to where I was or how many times I failed at one particular item or, you know, my training or my experience or what's going on in the industry and so on. So let's open up the floor for open questions right now. So everybody, anybody has a question on anything?
Okay, I just want to go over the 8 things. We talked about taking inventory of your school.
Right.
And list the health of students.
Right.
We talked about organizing for spring school show.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about look over your stats.
Right.
And then we talked about update college and schemes in the school. And then
right.
Spring student-parent questionnaire. But I only have 7. So
and we also talked about cleaning. The spring cleaning.
I must have combined two.
Yeah, the spring cleaning was the major thing. I'll quickly read them real quickly, the ones that we had. We had number one was taking an inventory of all your school equipment and doing some sale and getting rid of it. Number two was taking a hard look at the school and list the help of all the students, preferably the moms, to get you a perspective on what they think should be done. Number three was, was cleaning your school and doing an organizing cleaning day for the students. Number four we had was organize a school show.
Okay.
A recital parent show. Number five was looking over your stats. I actually combined six and five together, and I talked about it. Number five is organizing the stats that you have, and number six was if you aren't keeping stats, to start keeping them right now. So that might have been where I kind of ran those two together. And number seven was changing color schemes, updating your decorations, and so on. And number eight was designing the student questionnaire.
Gotcha. Now I'm on track here.
Good. So anybody else with questions?
I've got one, Allie.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more of a statement. Going back to your spring cleaning and the fingerprint kit, I was looking at just doing this, and anybody that's interested, there's a website that does it nationwide. It's called identakid.com.
Okay. What is it called again?
Identakid.com.
.com. Okay.
Identakid.
There's a hyphen after, or there's a hyphen around the A, so it's ident-a-kid.
It says ident-a-kid.com.
Correct. And they'll actually come into your school for, they just charge the parents that are interested, and they actually give each child a fingerprint and a full ID card.
Well, let me tell you about an organization that's even better than that. I mean, not better than that, but something that is actually free or very inexpensive. And Philip, if you're still on the line, who did we use with the DNA kits and so on?
I actually became what they call an NSA agent, but it's not the National Security Agency. It's the National Security Alliance, and they work with a KidSafe network. And for like maybe, I don't know, $2 or $3, you can get like 50 or 60 ID kits. And then the only thing is you have to print the kid yourself, which they'll discuss and teach you how to do. But it's really inexpensive, and the parents really enjoy it, and they see it as a step for you to take to ensuring the kid's safety. So,
and they also
is there a number to that place? Or
if you do a search on the internet.
Well, you know what? How about this? How about to all the staff members out there? Just email me, and I'll get it from Phil, and I'll email it to you guys back. So if you're interested in the item, just tell me, and I'll email it back to you with where it is. And the great thing I liked is that they did a DNA swab, too, that you could swab the kid's mouth and get a DNA sample and put that on file as well.
It's at KidSafePromotions.com.
What is it?
KidSafePromotions.com.
Okay. Great.
It may be something, actually something different. I believe it's, if you look at something called KidSafe Network, it's linked to something called the NSA, and they actually have a program that you can, you send away for a program, they mail it back to you, you answer like 20 questions, and then you're a level one security agent. I don't really suggest that you have to become an agent, but they do have a lot of good information, and then
Great. You
can also buy the kits.
Okay, good. But anyway, everyone email me, and I will have that information for you, and I'll just zip it back in an email. And my email, if you've never been on the conference call, it's Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I, that's R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, like Long Island, L-I Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. So one more time, Renshi, L-I Ninja, at AOL.com. So any other questions on anything? Open forum now. You guys got a chance. We have 9 minutes left.
Hey, Allie, this is Chuck Kroon.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Very good. Wanted to get in touch with you after the call, before we hang up.
Sure.
How do you want to do this? You want to call me call you?
You could call me on my cell phone, and my cell phone for everybody out there is 631-374-6518. You could call me. Anybody
can
call me.
Can you say that one more time?
Yes, 631-374-6518. 374-6518. And you guys should contact me.
Okay,
thank you.
Did you have a question or an online question that you could ask right now or no?
I'm sorry?
Did anybody else, or Chuck, did you have a question that you wanted to ask me or just to talk to me afterwards?
I just talked to you afterwards.
Okay. Anybody else on any questions?
My question was to you. I need everybody out of the office and the door closed, please. My question to you was, crap, I just forgot now.
Yeah, that's okay. We got a lot going on over there.
Yeah, we got all that school pickup kids in here
that's
now.
That's not a problem. So anybody else out there and watch this, maybe remember. Anybody else? Any other questions?
I just actually did a quick search on KidSafe Network.
Right.
And I actually did find the website address. So what I'm going to do is I'll email that to you, and then if anybody else is interested, they can either contact Allie or give a call into the Member Solutions office, and I'll be glad to give that website to you.
Fantastic. That would be awesome. Yeah, anytime we do these conference calls and networking, I think it's, you know, we have so much stuff that's really, really good. I've learned and gotten a lot of things from the clients of APS. They recommend to me, hey, Allie, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and so on. So, you know, we learn from each other, and I want to honestly say this, and I think Melody as well, not I think, I know, because Melody and I spent some time talking this weekend. Both of us really wholeheartedly enjoy meeting new people and working with school owners. It's really not, I don't think her nor I really try to
door shut.
Hold on, whoever's talking, you guys got to mute yourselves.
Yeah, please star 6 to mute yourself if your background noise went on there.
There you go, that's much better. So what I was saying was that we really look forward to speaking to people. We look forward to questions. I really have to say there are no stupid questions, so it could be on anything. Because, you know, I've been in the business, in the martial arts. I've been doing martial arts for 37 years. I started when I was 3 years old. I actually ran my first school at the age of 16. Back then I ran that for about 4 years. And so I was in my 20s, and then I closed it down because I wanted to be a student only. And then I've owned my school now just going on about 13 and a half years, and I have about 1,200 students in my organization. So I'm not saying that I have one of the largest schools in the United States and probably around the world, but most importantly, though, is I've made huge amounts of mistakes. I could kind of save you guys the time, and that's why I do what I do, because I had no one back 14 years ago or 13 years ago that could ever – there wasn't information in the industry that could help us grow as martial artists. Now there's such a large amount of information, it becomes a two-edged sword. We have so much information at our fingertips that we don't know what information to use. We don't know whether, you know, we should incorporate a black belt club or a leadership team, or we should have this going or that going. So when we join a Maya or a NATMA or another organization, what happens is the information is there for us, but we don't know what order to get it. That's why I know sometimes when I ask, does anyone have questions, we don't even know sometimes what questions to ask, because we're getting information on a conference call on a specific topic, but we don't know if that even pertains to what we're doing or whether we're going to even utilize it. So that's why I developed TakingItToTheNextLevel.com too, because it's kind of a curriculum-based learning experience for school owners where I say month one, do this, month two, let's do that, month three, let's build on this, and we continually build our business knowledge. Because if we could look back as martial artists how we started, we didn't start with black belt techniques, we started with white belt techniques. Sometimes, though, in the olden days when we were training, which most of us did, the curriculum was not set up in a way that was conducive to learning. It was the mentality where eventually you're going to become great at it. But we probably could have condensed our 35 years of training into probably like 10 years of organized or 5 years of organized systematic approaches. Well, in the industry, in the martial art business industry, we don't really have that. You know, we have all this fragmented information or even programs that are available out there that we could buy and utilize, but we don't know when to incorporate them. We don't know how to use them in our program and how they're going to benefit us. So you kind of need something that's a little bit more systemized to kind of say, hey, listen, you're doing great. You have 150 students, but you could have 300 if you would only go back to the drawing board and build your foundation a little better. And this is the kind of thing that through our consulting, through Member Solutions that we're trying to accomplish, they're more target-based, and we're trying to let people know that this is where we're at and this is what we want you to work on. It's not really just out there as an idea so that you could ignore it and move on to other things. We're kind of putting it in a systematic approach and format so that you guys could go and utilize the system and see a benefit. And that's really about it. We have a few minutes before I close up, so anybody have any last questions?
Yeah, Allie, it's Dwight Woods in Miami.
Sir, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Great.
You'd mentioned your stat sheet. Which website is it on? It's on...
Well, the stat sheet itself may not be available for download on the open forum section of my website, TakingItToTheNextLevel.com. It's probably in the premium section, which is a member section.
Okay.
But if you send me a specific email asking me what stat sheet you're looking for, because on my month three level that I just got out, we have like 25 different stat sheets or 20 different stat sheets that are open for school owners from anything from soup to nuts.
Right.
And every single month we have a new thing like attendance tracking, attendance cards, this and that. But if you send me a specific stat you want to track, I'll send you out a form.
Okay. All right. That's
anybody could do that, and I'll take care of it. Just email me, and I'll email it to you.
Okay. What about, do you find an advantage to having stats for the number of students in your different programs, or do you...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you need to do that, and let me tell you why. Because let's just say you have a little ninja curriculum, and then you have an older teenage curriculum, or however it's broken down. Let's do it like this and say a 3 to 5 ages, and 5 to 8-year-olds, and 9 to 12-year-olds, and then you need to break it down even further. You need to know that how many 3 to 5-year-olds are at white belt, yellow belt, green belt, if you have belts. And then that way you could get a picture of each individual group, because 3 to 5-year-olds are different than 5 to 8-year-olds, 5 to 8-year-olds are different than 9 to 12, and so on. So you may find that in your school, the instructors are really good at working with little kids, but once they get to their green belt level, you're losing a lot of students, because at the 3 to 5-year-old green belt level, the curriculum may be too boring or too extensive or too difficult or whatever. You could go back and analyze that in more detail. Or you might find out that the transition between the 3 to 5-year-olds to the 5 to 8-year-olds that you'll find when they move from to the next group and the next age, they may quit because they feel that that could be a challenge. There's a lot of these things that our stats will tell us when we look at it. It paints a perfect picture of areas we need to work on. So this is very, very important. Every single stat is important, and then breaking them down is even more important into individual stats within that stat. And that will give you an idea. I know it sounds like stats, you know, it's a lot of, but it will give you an idea of the dichotomy, the overall perspective of your school, because it'll help you understand when people are quitting. Like, for instance, we have a large teenage curriculum. And then we were finding when our teenagers were bumping up to the adult class, even though that they were 13 and 14-year-olds and they were powerful and they had the technique and they were more mature than being with the 12-year-olds, but we found that they didn't like being with adults. We thought they would. We thought they'd like the challenge, but they just weren't in the mentality of being with adults. They wanted to have their own class, but they didn't want to be with the 12-year-olds. They didn't want to be with the younger kids. They wanted to be with kids of the same age and peer and mentality. So they wanted to have their own class, and we did that, and it's been incredible. We actually are keeping and retaining so many more teenagers that way than we ever did before, just by by looking at those stats and figuring out where our loss was and then adding a new class in. Make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. What time of day do you have them scheduled? The teenagers?
You know what, to be honest with you, I don't know, but you can go on my website, lininja.com, lininja.com, and all my schedules for all 5 of my schools are up there.
Okay.
And you can kind of get an idea. We break everything down based on age and rank. So like a 3 to 5-year-old would be it, you know, or a 5 to 8-year-old will have a white belt class. Then there'll be a 5 to 8-year-old yellow belt class and a green belt class and a blue and purple brown and then a black belt class. Every single rank and every single age is broken down in my school. We have 68 classes per week.
Okay.
In my headquarters school.
Got it.
Any other last questions? Okay, I think we just hit the 3 o'clock mark, and I think that if I run overtime, we'll get cut off. So if anybody wants to, I'd be more than honored, and I love meeting people, so please just email me to say hello, but I would be more than honored to have you guys email me. Again, my email is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. You could also check out my 2 websites, my school website, to get an idea of how, and we've been doing great with our website, getting a large amount of people coming in, and that's lininja.com. Off of our website, we've been getting at least 5 to 8 inquiries per week, people coming in for trial classes, and I could also do another conference call on that. And then we have takingittothenextlevel.com, which is really a consulting website for the martial art industry, and there's a host of free information on that, down from my referral programs to questions and comments and so on. And anything that you guys would like to have, just email me and I'll answer your questions. I do this as part of my service to Member Solutions, and that's my job. So I'm here for you guys every way, shape, or form, and I really truly want to learn and be with you guys and make new friends and help the industry. So that's about it.
All right, Allie.
Thank you so much again.
Everybody, thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. Please take advantage of the Member Solutions consulting calls. Next week, I believe, is Melody, and she is quite amazing. So, I mean, I'm the school owner. I have so many more years of experience than her, and I learn from her every time I hear her open up her mouth. She's quite unbelievable with her insight. She's definitely a genius, and I would be on her conference call as well, because she's going to talk about turning the VIP card into a moneymaker. So you guys, I've read through the material and spoke with her in length. It's definitely something that you want to do. So everybody have a great day. Talk to you soon, and I'll hope to hear from you guys on my, one-on-ones and next month and on email.
Thanks, Allie.
Take care.